Good morning. Praise the Lord. He is risen. Wow. Praise the Lord. He is risen indeed. What a joy this morning to worship our Lord and Savior. What an honor. Just a few scriptures here. Romans 1:4. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God because of the resurrection. For if we have, Romans 6:5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:12 says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So why talk about the resurrection if Christ isn't risen? Christ is risen. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen. And that is our hope this morning. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Going to talk a little this morning first about the crucifixion. You know, we know on Sunday morning Jesus rose from the dead, but why was he there? And you know, it was for you and I. He was in the grave those 3 days, 3 nights, whatever, because of our sin, and he was there because he wanted to redeem us. That one verse this morning, you know, who would have blamed Christ if he'd have just said, just forget it. They've messed up too much. I don't feel like going through it. Would have he been just in doing that? Maybe. But just think about that. He actually chose to come because he loved you this morning. He chose to come this morning because he loved you. He wanted you to be with him. I always think of, you know, in the beginning of, even before creation, God the Father, God the Son, and just the communication. And I think about, you know, even before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was already slain. And how does that look? And, you know, if I think of God the Father having this plan that he wants to create a world and he wants to create people to live in the world because he wants relationships. He wants relationships. And so, but he knows that they're going to fail and they're going to fall. He knows that. God knew that they're going to fall. And so, as he's relating to God the Son, he's like, but I think if, what about this? If you would go and redeem them back to me. He didn't want someone, he could have made us like robots or whatever, but he didn't want just someone that would just do as he says, in a sense, as in, let's press this button or let's do this. He wanted somebody that was in love with him, that wanted to do what he wanted done. And so he allowed us to fall. He allowed us to see our brokenness. He allowed us. But Christ saw us in that state and decided, we can't let him there. I'll go. We want that relationship back. Satan stole it in the garden, but Jesus was determined. Jesus was willing. He wasn't determined. He was just willing. He was willing to go, come here, and allow himself to be torn apart and humiliated so that relationship could be restored. Like, if you really think about it this morning, would you love God if he would have just, like, you've always been good? I mean, knowing my past, knowing who I was, and realizing that God chose to save me and chose to love me, even knowing who I was and still am. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Does that not just cause you to love God or like to worship him? Like, really, you love me even like this? He says, yes, I love you. And so when we think of that, the even when we look at like the Old Testament, it's not just like perchance that Jesus became martyred on a cross. Like that was actually, even throughout scripture, Jesus was wounded. It talks about, you know, that they would pluck his beard out and that he would be whipped beyond even knowing who he looked. Like his visage was marred to the point of not recognizing. Like that wasn't just perchance that, you know, this he happened to fall in a Roman culture that was so demonic. That was all planned. Can't we just see the love of Christ as he takes those beatings? We're going to look at Isaiah 52, a few verses in Isaiah 52, and then Isaiah 53 as well. But just recognizing as I was seeing this, I was like, God did not, he already had this plan many years before this happened, that this was going to be this way. It says in Isaiah 52, verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Even in all that, like we just, like, there was not really a desire even. I like verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Can you imagine how he was beaten and didn't say nothing? I don't know how people can be so cruel and whip and strip someone to the point of what I envision Jesus was beaten and go to bed at night. I don't know how they would, but he was beaten. He was afflicted, and yet he didn't say anything. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, it didn't please the Lord just to the sake of, now I'm pleased, like we would look at pleased. But it pleased the Lord to see Jesus willing to do this sacrifice for the sake of you and I. Again, that relationship could be restored. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's the only way. There's not going to be anyone in heaven that's just going to be half-hearted there. It won't be. You're going to be there, and you're going to be in love with Jesus. And it is not going to be boring. It is going to be joy forevermore. More joy than you've ever experienced here in this earth. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my servant justify many, my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Psalms 2, there's some reading in Psalms 2 as well, 1 to 18. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time this morning, but just to think about, Jesus was wounded for my transgressions and bruised. Like he was profane, cursed at. He was defiled, violated, dishonored beyond what you and I would ever feel here. I don't believe we'll ever feel the humiliation. Wound him. He was wounded, fatally wounded. None of us will ever experience the depth of his humiliation. Just think about that. Whipped and torn up to the point where he wasn't recognizable. Bruised, he was crushed. He was shattered for your guilt, for my guilt. When I think of some of the things in my past, there's not guilt there. I don't like what's there, but it's not guilt anymore. It's been paid for. I know that's been paid for. Those things are there, but there's no guilt anymore. He was bruised for that. He took those bruises for your guilt, for your perversity and your moral evil. And all we like sheep have gone astray. I got a song here I want to read. Just really ministered to me this week. And yeah, we used to actually sing this in school. It's been years since I've read it. The 90 and 9. There were 90 and 9 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here the 90 and 9. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. Each of one of us was or is going to be that sheep that Jesus is seeking out. But look, but none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. That was you and I. But he was seeking. And we have no clue how deep those waters were or how rough the hills were that he went through to get us. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. And all through the mountains, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there rose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Praise the Lord. Are you one of those sheep that Jesus was seeking for? Has he found you? Out there in that mountain, you were sick, helpless, and ready to die. Praise the Lord. But that's the guilt, the shame, and even just the horror that Jesus Christ needed to go through to get to this point that we can now today celebrate his resurrection. We can celebrate communion today. because of that. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to read the, just transition here a little bit. I want to also touch here on the resurrection. But just so grateful this morning for the resurrection. I'll read it in John. John 20, verses 1. One to 18. And talk about the empty tomb. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Why were the women so concerned about Jesus when all the disciples were in fear and hiding? Now, just to think about that, obviously Mary, not Mary Magdalene, but it does look to some of the others that, you know, there was a couple women that were with them, was the mother of Jesus, and of course she would have had a concern and wanted to do the proper burial, which I don't think was, maybe it was done rather quickly because it was near the Sabbath day. But here they came, nonetheless, to the sepulcher early in the morning, and Jesus wasn't there anymore. And I just think, it says the disciples were scared, and rightly so. I don't know what was all going through their minds after Jesus died and everything that happened, the darkness, the earthquake, and the crying out that Jesus did. But I think they were afraid. I don't think they knew what to expect, what to know. And yet, Jesus had told them that after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. He had told that two or three times. And yet, they didn't get it. But if I think about that, Jesus was just his heart of hearts in being there and visiting Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And he gave them the first, you'd say, the Great Commission, right? Go tell the others that I'm alive. He said that first to these women. Go tell Peter and the others that I'm not here anymore. Isn't that neat? And yet, that is very, how would you say, unlikely that anybody would even believe him. Like, I don't think the women in that day had that much influence as far as even if they would say something. And rightly so, they went back and the disciples didn't believe it. But then Peter and John ran to the tomb and actually went in. And John and Peter both went in and saw the clothes lying there, but no Jesus. And I never really heard it this way before. As I was studying, they would say that his linen that was wrapped around his body had actually gotten kind of stiff from all the ointment and everything. And so it was still laying there, kind of like in a form of a body, but there was no body in it. Jesus had evaporated out of there. And when John saw that, it says he believed. And I was like, that's pretty awesome. One look at an empty tomb, he saw the clothes lying there, but no Jesus, and it says he believed. Peter still didn't believe. But they left the tomb and went back to tell the others. And even that, there wasn't enough. But Jesus was kind enough to later on in this chapter, he comes to where they were, meet together, and he comes into their midst and says, I am he. And you know, it's really awesome that even in Jesus' new body, that the scars were still there. All the other rips and torn and his beard ripped out and whatever else was mutilated, how his body was so mutilated. But the scars on his hands and his feet and his side were still there. That's really neat. And it was when they saw that, for sure Thomas, I don't know if it was for the rest, but when he showed him that, you know, his scars, that was me, that was nailed on the cross, but I'm alive, they believed on him. And he breathed on them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But from that account, we can today now, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. We are writing about the word of life. In him who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves, we have touched with our own hands, and the life and aspect of his being was revealed, made manifest, demonstrated, and we saw as eyewitnesses and are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life in him who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers. What we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we are now writing these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included may be full and your joy may be complete. So when we see the risen Savior, does that give us a completion? Does that give you joy? When you see Christ risen and you see in his resurrection, we have our hope. It was through his wounds and his bruises and through his beatings that we received forgiveness of sins. And yet through the resurrection of Christ is where we receive hope. It would be great to have our sins forgiven, but what about a life after this? That would, you know, We wouldn't believe that. We'd be the most miserable, or however it says. But we have hope because as Christ was raised from the dead, so we shall be risen from the grave at someday in that last day. Do you have joy this morning in knowing that Jesus rose from the grave? Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing to be of his children. What an honor to be one of his, to be called brethren. It says here, I read there in John, it says, go tell the brethren. He told Mary, go tell the brethren. And that was the first time that he used that phrase for the disciples. And I think it says in Hebrews somewhere, therefore he is not afraid to call us his brethren because he died for us and we accepted him. We accept his offer, his gift of salvation. We accept that and we now are complete in that. Thank you, Lord. What a gift this morning. Okay, well, we're going to transition now to taking communion. We're going to have our communion time here. And then after that, we'll do feet washing. So if whoever's in charge here to get the bread and the grape juice, and then just in John Omer, you can be ready to divide that out. But let's go to Matthew 26. 26 to 30. This is Matthew 26, verses 26 to 30. This is the Lord's Supper, my heading here, Jesus had said that he wants to eat the Passover with them. And so as they are eating the Passover and their Passover supper was ended, or as they were eating here, it says, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the wine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. But again, just thinking of Jesus Christ, here he is, knowing that night, it says in the same night, and he knew that night was the night that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinful man. He knew that was going to be the night that he was going to have to give up his own life. He laid down his life for you and I. But on that same night, he established a communion. And he said, as often as you do this, that was not in this specific here. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 11, towards the end of that chapter, but it points back to here. But I also want to see this. It says, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You know, when John the Baptist came preaching there at the River Jordan, he said, come and be baptized for the remission of sins. That was very new for them in that time to preach the remission of sins, because there was nothing like remission of sins in the old covenant. There couldn't be. Your sins continuously reminded every week or month or whenever, daily, when that sacrifice went off, you knew that it was for your sins. But this here is, it says here, he's shedding his blood for many for the remission of sins. It's for the pardoning of your sin. It's forgiveness like it never happened before. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven as they never happened before. You're completely new. You become a new man. When you get born again, you become a new man. Your old man is still there, but you become a new man. The Spirit of God awakens in you again, which was dead ever since Adam and Eve. that spirit died. And now, as we accept Christ, but look, his blood is shed for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. This morning, as we think of taking the cup, what does that represent? I would have loved to just replay that little video that we watched on Wednesday night on specifically the cup, but we're not going to go there. But just recognizing that as we take the cup, we're accepting Christ. Christ is handing us the cup this morning. He's saying, I will be your life. And as we drink the cup, we just simply identifying as, yes, we are yours. We are yours. And so as we think of that this morning, Christ shed his blood for you and I this morning for the remission of your sins. Praise the Lord. And he also allowed his body to be broken for you and I this morning, for the healing, so that you can experience healing from your past, healing from wounds, healing from rejection. He experienced rejection. He experienced humiliation, as I said, defilement, being defiled, being whipped and made to go down the center streets of Jerusalem or whatever, carrying a cross, beat up like he was, completely naked, just humiliated. Yet he did that for you and I this morning, so that you can be again, have that relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand?